Home Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and a very pleasant good evening to you. Our number is 877-876-7445, and we have a very, very special, special interview lined up for you here in just in a few seconds. And it's one that, quite frankly, we didn't even know we were going to be able to secure until about 10 minutes ago. But we have, and I think you'll find it fascinating. We're going to be talking here in just a couple of minutes with Governor Jan Brewer of the state of Arizona, and we're going to be talking about the contretemps currently afoot there in Arizona over immigration policy. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and you can pick up a backstage pass and watch us online. We do a live streaming video cast each and every night on our website, so we certainly do invite you to join us there, as well as our podcasts, which are available through the banner on our website at philhendryshow.com. We got a brand new podcast out today, in fact, episode 32 of our podcast. All right, we're going to get Governor Brewer on the line right now.
Yeah, mine too.
Governor Jan Brewer, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
Great, great. And I appreciate you joining us here at this late date.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Whenever I can be make myself available to the media, I try to. But
by the way, can I ask you something? It's a little bit off subject.
Go ahead.
When you were wagging your finger at President Obama, have you since thought about that? And
I have, and I thought that I was going to look rather heroic to other conservatives. And what I found out was that they all sort of spent a few days not wanting to talk to me. It turned out to be a bad move. I thought that if the pictures that I knew the guys they were going to take, because the press corps was right there that day, and so I started wagging my finger to try to look like I really had it all over Obama, and I was going to, you know, tell him a thing or two, and I knew the press boys got some shots. But when I saw the pictures later, I
what'd you think?
Well, I looked like an ass. I just looked like a stupid ass waving my finger, because the president was very calm, cool, and dignified, and I was sort of a raving idiot, you know. And
well, I wouldn't call you that. That's a little harsh.
No, I would. I looked like a raving imbecile wagging my finger, you know. One of the things that I didn't like, maybe you didn't like, Phil, growing up, I didn't like when people were sticking their finger in my face, you know, sticking their finger anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I saw that, I saw myself doing that to the President of the United States. I was, and I know I heard you made some comments that were rather pointed, and although at another time, another place, I might have been upset with them.
Well, what I said was that he's the president, and you should have respect. You know,
and you're right. So I blew it there, and it looks like I might have blown it with this thing. You want to talk the immigration, right?
Yeah, yes, I do. Governor Jan Brewer is with us, and we're talking about with Governor Brewer here now about Arizona, and you have decided not to. I don't know if it's complying, because you are a state, a sovereign state, but the federal government has this deferment program that you are not going, meaning if you are an illegal immigrant.
Can I interrupt you, Phil?
Go ahead.
Let me tell you what I'm doing as the governor of Arizona, what I, Jan Brewer, am doing. And I heard also that Nebraska may be following suit, and if they are, great. We're flattered. Good to have you. Great to have you come along with us. But don't make any mistake. We are at the very front of this immigration debate. And I'm going through my papers here. Neil, Jerry, give me the story. There was a story that cleared today on AP, and I took a note because I want to talk to this guy. Basically, it's this. The federal program that President Obama has very wrongheadedly, I believe, created is one that if you take this deferred status, you have to be an individual who's been in the country since before you were 16 years of age. You have to be an immigrant who was brought over here by your parents. You have to be someone who has gone through high school in this country. You have to be someone who has, you could be someone who was in the military.
Yeah, and that was the part.
Hold on for just a minute, okay, Phil?
I just wanted to say that was the part that seemed the toughest of all. So you won't.
Hold on. Let me just hold on. This is what the President of the United States and the federal government is telling me in the state of Arizona. If you've got immigrants there that were brought over to the United States before the age of 16, if you've got immigrants there that have been through the school system in the United States, immigrants there that are English speaking, have served in the United States military, any of these provisos. They need to be allowed to have this deferred status, and they should be allowed to have some form of an ID or driver's license administered to them. And I took a stand, and I know Nebraska is taking that stand, and I'm saying, no, you don't get to. Obama doesn't call the shots in the state of Arizona. And
All right. I understand. It's called, by the way, deferred action.
Yeah. I called it deferred status. We are denying driver's licenses to these undocumented immigrants, and because I believe this is wrong. And I heard today where the ACLU is. Did you see that?
Yeah, the ACLU. I guess it's either local ACLU, Arizona ACLU, or yes, it's the American Civil Liberties.
It's this solar. Is that the
Alessandro?
Oh yeah. Okay, Alessandro. Well, what does that tell you?
What do you mean? What does that tell me?
Well, she might as well be called Alejandro, you know, and have a bullfighter cape. I mean, what we're talking about.
Oh, so in other words, because she's Hispanic, that automatically means that she's what?
That she's a liberal Hispanic. We've got a lot of conservatives in this state. I'm just telling you that it doesn't surprise me the ACLU has pulled out for a mouthpiece somebody with the, you know, blowing a trumpet, and here comes the... You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Well, Phil, you want to be... I'm saying the ACLU has got the Lonely Bull theme. So what I am saying...
The Lonely Bull... So in other words, the ACLU is playing to the emotions...
Yes, playing to the emotions of immigrants as well as the liberals such as yourself. Now, Phil, you were going to bring up something, and I'm all ready for you because I knew you were going to bring it up. You're going to bring up the fact that one of the things that qualifies an immigrant for this deferred action is have they served in the United States military. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes, because, you know, because...
Well, all right, now let me...
Hold on. I want people to understand that one of the statuses, if I may say, that is respected by this deferred action program, if you're an immigrant here without documentation, but you have served in the U.S. military, you qualify for this deferred action, and you are granted, or should be granted, some kind of a driver's license.
All right, okay, so did you...
I think I've explained it, yeah.
All right. Whoever, and here's my answer to that. And
by the way, we are...
Can I finish?
Hold on, I want to let people know who we're talking to. Jan Brewer, the governor of the state of Arizona. Go ahead, Jan.
All right. Who told them to join the military? See? So, in other words, I didn't tell them to go into the military, and nobody that I know told them to go into the military. They joined the military, and they served in the military. And thank you very much, and we appreciate that, but you're not a citizen. And now you're out of the military, and I'm supposed to do what? Now I got to give... What about the guys that served in the military that are American citizens?
They have driver's licenses.
No, I know that they have driver's... What's your point?
Well, what's your point?
My point is we got guys in the military who are American citizens and have driver's licenses. Okay?
And my point is you've got guys in the military who are not American citizens but still serving in the military, and they don't have driver's licenses.
Right.
So is that fair? Is that...
What do you mean fair? It's legal to deny a driver's license.
No, I understand what's legal, Governor Brewer, but I'm saying is it, in light of the immigration debate, in light of the problem the country is wrestling with, President Obama is not the first American politician, president or otherwise, who's talked about this pathway to citizenship, if we could call it that. You know, we had Jack Kemp. We had conservative as well as, or at least Republican as well as Democratic politicians talk about this. Why are you opposed to it?
I'm not opposed to it. I didn't say I was opposed to it, but I'm not going to be told by this guy. See, the problem is this. I bet I probably shouldn't say
it. No, say it.
Well, I'm the governor of a state, you know, and...
Say it, governor.
Well, I don't like you telling me to say it.
Okay, but there's something you want to say.
Yes, I don't like this guy shoving his weight around. It bothers me. I don't know why, but it just bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the uh-huh? Are you going to tell me it's because he's black?
I don't know. You're the one that's talking. You're a female. You're the female governor of Arizona.
That's right. I'm a female. And because of that, this guy comes, you know, bouncing down here and blah, 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 telling me all this stuff.
Yeah. Presidents are going to do that.
I got an immigration problem here. You know that, right?
Yeah. The whole country knows the immigration problem of Arizona. I don't envy you.
Well, if the whole country knows, then the whole country better figure that we got to do something about it. Nobody has given me a hand with this thing, okay? I don't see anybody coming up with any bright ideas, so I'm the one that's got to come up with the answers. And the answer that I got is we're going to have to draw a line in the sand. And
well, you know what they say about lines in the sand?
And we're what's that?
The line in the sand gets washed away very easily by the encroaching surf.
Oh, isn't that poetry? Hold on for a minute. Here, I'll give you.
Okay, the sarcasm I don't need. All I'm saying is a line in the sand is not a very permanent thing.
Well, it is here. In Arizona, it's as permanent as hell. And I can tell you this. I feel for these guys that went into the military because they... I don't know why a guy that isn't a legal citizen is going to go in the military. I don't get it. It doesn't seem, forgive me for saying this, but it doesn't seem very bright. And
so a man who is wants to serve this country who is not a citizen and...
You know, there's a lot of guys who are here legally but aren't citizens that are in the military.
All right, I understand that. But guys that are still serving the United States in the U.S. military who are not citizens, you're still going to deny them as well a driver's license.
Going to lock out the interview with the question like that, huh?
No, we're coming back after the break. I just wanted to ask you.
All right, well, I'll answer it after the break. How's that feel?
Governor, I'm not trying to be contentious, but I've just got some...
No, not at all, but when you're asking me questions about waving my finger around in the guy's face and asking me about veterans, I can tell they're very loaded, and they're politically loaded, and...
But they're questions that have to be answered. Hang on the line, please.
Oh, okay, here's where you put...
Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. And we'll have more questions for the governor when we come back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very happy, very proud to have Governor Jan Brewer on the line with us tonight from Arizona. And in a moment, if we can make this happen, Governor Brewer, we may be able to get the president very quickly.
Well, that's fine.
You don't have any problem talking to him?
No, I got no problem talking. The president of the United States? Of course I don't. He's the president of the United States. You know, and...
All right, I don't know whether we'll be able to do it or not. He's the president.
No, I've got no problem with the president at all. Obviously, we have philosophical differences, but the president is the president, and I have to give him all due respect. And
now, is that something you've recently counseled yourself on, having had the finger wagging incident?
No, it's not something I recently counseled myself on, Phil.
Well, all right. I mean, it didn't appear, and I don't want to beat that into the ground.
I've always had respect for the office of the president, the office of the president, okay? And when I say the office, and forgive me if I'm talking to you like you're stupid, because I don't think you are, Phil, but when I say I have respect for the office of the president, I'm talking about the presidency, because I talked here to Kip Cooper, who is one of our press guys. I said, I have respect for the office, and I see him going through a catalog. And I said, what are you doing? He's buying furniture off of the presidential Oval Office for the governor's mansion.
Are you... respect for the office meaning...
Yeah, respect for the office meaning, oh, he thought I liked the furniture.
This guy works for you?
He did. Doesn't anymore. And I'm coming out and I'm admitting that to you. I'm telling you, and again, I set myself up for ridicule that I had a guy working for me so stupid that when I said that I respected the office of the president... He said, well, let me go get the governor some of the furniture that the Oval Office has. And this jackass was on on the phone. I heard. What was he doing? He was on the phone. He didn't even use the computer to order. He's on the phone. Yeah, hi. Is this Office Depot or whatever the hell? I don't know where he was getting it.
So you fired him, huh? All right. That's that's one for the books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I fired him.
All right. Let me get on the line very briefly. Governor, we have President Obama on the line for Governor Jan Brewer. Jan Brewer from the great state of Arizona. And it is President Obama tonight on his way to an airport, I guess. Mr. President, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Phil.
And it's Governor Brewer.
Hey, Jan, how are you? President, how are you doing? Governor, I'm doing great.
Did you, Jan, Governor Brewer, I mean...
Mr. President, I don't mean to be offensive. You called me Jan. You know what? That was bad. That was bad form. I meant Governor. Yeah, I was just trying to be friendly. No, not a problem.
Do you have a... I would imagine you'd want to ask some questions. Who Mr. President, you have a question?
I do. I actually do, Governor Brewer, if you don't mind. No, go ahead. You know, I'm the president, and I'm not... I don't think that makes me the greatest thing in the world, but I am the president, okay? And and I said we're going to do this thing with the deferred action. Now, you're telling me no, and you're telling the American people no. So... You got these guys, these immigrants that are in your state now. What are you going to do? I mean, let's start off, Mr. President, by this deferred action. What is that supposed to mean, anyway? It means you have an idea. I'll tell you what it means. All we're trying to do is get some documentation going on these people so that we can then at some point assess their status. In the meantime, we are acknowledging a certain unique standing among immigrants. What is that? Say that again. See, one of the problems people have with you, Mr. President, is you talk in circles. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, I think you do. Well, how am I talking in circles? Well, for instance, you say, well, unique status, boom, ba, boom, ba, bim, ba, bim. I've got people in my state that are out picking lettuce. Okay, you know, yeah, see, and they're illegal. And, well, then at least you can talk so they, if I can't understand you, how could it, a lot of them do, Jan, you just, well, excuse me for saying Jan, Governor Brewer, you just walked right into that. You got people in your state picking celery and they understand what I'm saying better than you? Woo! Yeah, well, you called me Jan, okay, Barack?
Can we get back to the form of Mr. President and Governor?
Who said that? It's the host of the show, Henry. Oh.
Yes, sir. It's me, Mr. President.
No, it's Jan Brewer. Boy, can we get back to what we're talking about?
I'm sorry, Governor.
Yeah, well, who's that? President Obama. All right. Yeah, don't yell at me. Well, I'm the guy that's been called up and asked to get on this cornball talk show. Now, let me ask you something. I'm trying to deal with a problem there. I said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we see if we can't at least document... Don't yell at me just because I'm a female governor. See, this is why I was wagging the finger. Oh, okay. Well, whatever you say, Hilda. Oh, my God. You went and did it. You went and said it, didn't you? What did I say? Hilda. Well, I mean, you're... And you started with the finger again.
I did not.
Well, it felt like it. All I'm saying, sir, is this. You are now going to hand out, or you think I'm going to hand out driver's licenses to illegals. Well, I don't feel like it. Why? I don't have to tell you. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to have to put my state through the paperwork, gear up the bureaucracy, and all the other things it's going to take to hand out driver's licenses. It's a select few, Governor Brewer. We're not talking about every single celery picker you got down there, okay? Well, no, get a load of you with the celery picker. Well, I also got done saying they're smarter than you, so you can take that any way you want. Well, that's true.
He did.
Yeah. So in other words, I'm not a celery picker, so I'm stupid. Is that it?
No.
But you're the one that, you know, walked into it. The point that I'm making is, I'm not saying every single guy down there that is working the fields. I'm saying only those that came to the country as children, brought here, went to school here, and in some instances are now in levels of higher education, and in some instances are now in the military or served in the military. That's not every immigrant that ever picked a beet in the state of Arizona.
Can we get off of this beet picking and celery picking?
Yeah, okay, that's the host again. I'm the president. I would think that I'd be allowed to.
I know, sir, but why don't we just call them what they are? They're illegal, undocumented.
I like illegal.
Is that Governor Brewer?
No, President Obama.
All right, hold on. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona, President Barack Obama of, well, of the United States of America, online with us here as we talk about the Arizona dilemma on this new deferred action immigration policy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, most everybody else does, so I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, that's a plan. You want to call him beef pickers, lettuce pickers? You can call him Einstein for all I care.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Governor Jan Brewer on the line with us, along with President Barack Obama. We are going to be joined by Attorney General Eric Holder so that we can sort of round out this discussion this evening on the National Deferred Action, proposed Deferred Action Program. Mr. President, the question that I have for you is, did you not anticipate, sir, or did anybody, and maybe this I should direct to Attorney General Holder, the dispute you would have with the state, if you say, we will give you a driver's license or an ID if you meet these requirements, which are the ones that I think I have, unless I missed one?
No, I think you got it pretty close, Phil. I know what they are, Phil. Well, hold on, Governor Brewer. I'm the president, and I'm the guy that proposed it. Boy. Yeah, I know, but I'm the governor of the state. I got to enact. Well, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, I want to hear from the president. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I proposed is this. If you're someone that's been in the country from before the age of 16, which means essentially you've been through school, you've been through primary as well as middle school, you're now well into your high school, and possibly you've started your higher education college, and you have also, in lieu of college, you've joined the military. In other words, if you are, in essence, culturally, if you will, in terms of language, in terms of how you have been formed, consciousness, and otherwise, you're American, what does that mean? What? What does that mean? What's what mean?
Governor Brewer?
Yeah, I'm asking the president, what does that mean, how you've been formed, consciousness, da-ba-ba-boom? I didn't say ba-ba-boom. I said, but what does it mean? It means this. You're born in a country, whether or not you have the stamp that says U.S. citizen, you learn the language, you go to the schools, you become American. But, Mr. President, in my book, American also means legally American. Yeah, I got that, Governor. I understand that. What I'm trying to impart to you is not so much the legal status, which you and I are in agreement is not legal at all. It's illegal. I'm talking to the essential reality of the person, that is, the cultural reality of the person. That's the part I don't get. What don't you get? Well, it sounds a little highfalutin, you know, like, what are you? You flashing your college degree now? Oh, boy. Well, I mean, I think...
Governor, what is it that you don't...
I think he's getting into an area here where people don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's, well, you know, the cultural this, cultural that. And,
well, I think I understand what the president's saying.
Of course you do. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I bet you President Obama, well, I better not say it. I was going to say, I bet you could speak Swahili and you'd understand it. Aha! So that's where we're at. No, that's not where we're at.
Hold on, both of you. Let me get Attorney General Eric Holder on the line here.
Well, what do you want to put him on? It's going to confuse the hell out of everybody. Yeah.
Because maybe he can clear some things up. Mr. Attorney General?
Yeah, Phil.
How are you tonight?
Well, I've been listening to the president and Governor Brewer. I'm enjoying the conversation. If I could lend some clarity to what the president was saying, Governor Brewer, I'm not trying to talk down to you at all. I understand how it might be misunderstood. You understand how a dummy like me would get it? I didn't say dummy. I didn't say dummy at all. Well, you get it. Henry gets it. The president, he's the guy that created it. I'm the only guy that does. Me, I don't understand it. And I'll bet you another thing, and I've got money that says there's about... Oh, I don't know, 300,000 lettuce pickers that don't get it either. Let me go again with lettuce picker, boy.
What is it, Governor, that you don't understand? I'm going to take over here, even at the risk of being rude to the president. I will explain it to you.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Hold on. An American And I don't think the governor, I don't think President Obama called anybody that, you know, goes to school here and, you know, learns the language. I think he said American, but you are already very firmly rooted in the American life, in the American way of life. You are surrounded by it. You are influenced by it. It feeds every, you know, every observation you have. It feeds every opinion you have. You are, without, you're right, the legal status of being American, you are, in essence, Americanized. Does that sound...
Well, I mean, I could say, no, I don't get it, and then I could make it even doubly tough on you, but I think I understand what you're saying.
All right, Governor, I mean, Attorney General...
I'm the governor, he's the attorney chief. I'm the woman here, you know?
I apologize.
Yeah, I'm the attorney general.
All right, Mr. Attorney General Holder.
Yeah, you call him? This is the president, Attorney General Holder.
Yes, sir, Mr. Attorney General.
Okay. Hey, I've been listening to this stuff. You guys have been going back and forth like a here's what I'm saying to the governor and to the president. As the attorney general, that is the district attorney, for people out there that don't know what I do and you believe the letters and cards that I get from people, what do you do? What is an attorney general? What is it? I'm like the DA. I'm like Hamilton Berger on Perry Mason. I'm like, you know, the bad guy in Liar, you know, that I'm like Swoozy Kurtz in Liar Liar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So the president says we're going to give people this deferred status, and in return, they get to have a driver's license. Now, the governor is saying, isn't that unconstitutional for the federal government to tell a state, which has reserved for itself traditionally over the years the right to issue driver's licenses on their highways and byways? That's it. That's it exactly. Okay, governor, so... You would ask me, is that okay? I'm not asking you guys anything. Where did you get the idea I'm asking you? Governor, you know what?
Who's this?
President Obama. Governor, this is the president. Yeah, I know who it is. All right. We're saying that you can issue the driver's licenses, and I'm saying I don't want to. You're saying you don't want to. Why? I don't want a lot of undocumented people riding around on the highway. I don't want to have to spend the money and the... She was talking about the bureaucracy.
Oh, okay. I don't even know who's talking anymore.
You don't know what a woman sounds like.
Yes, I do.
Well, that's me.
Okay.
All right, this is Attorney General Holder. What we're saying is that there is a federal supremacy here. And... Wait, hold on.
No,
hold on. Federal supremacy. What does that mean, federal supremacy, when it is unconstitutional? I heard Henry talking to that guy Northcraft. That's what they said during the break.
Yeah, well, that's what I was speculating on with Dan. I was saying the federal supremacy, that is federal law trumps state law, is all well and good unless they are unconstitutionally usurping it. Right, Mr. Attorney General?
Well, get a load of you. So you're a constitutional scholar, right?
No, sir, I am not.
All right. Well, then let me do it, if you don't mind.
Jesus.
No, but let me do it. I'm the attorney general.
Let Eric do it.
Yeah, okay, Eric. Go ahead. Thank you. First of all, I can issue a federal driver's license. How's that feel? Is that a snug fit?
Wouldn't dare.
Wouldn't I? I could issue a federal driver's license saying that this is a protected federal status... Federally protected status.
How are you going to do that?
What do you think? They're like endangered species or something? Yeah, well, we protect. What do we do, Mr. President? Do you know?
I don't know.
Don't we have federal?
The owl or something, right?
Yeah, do we federally protect an owl?
Well, how about that, man?
So now you're going to take a bunch of beet picker. Well, I better not say beet picker.
You know, all you've been doing is with this racism.
No, you're the guy that started with the beet picking and the celery picking.
Who said that?
Who am I talking to? The Attorney General.
Oh, okay.
You weren't listening? I thought you said you were listening.
Can I jump, Mr. Attorney General? They were throwing back and forth the term beet picker and celery picker for immigrants.
Well, I find that racist, okay? And I think it is unbecoming a president and the governor of, even the governor of the state of Arizona, such as it is.
Wow, that took some guts there.
Well, you know, that's where this conversation's going. All right.
Let me ask a question here. Is there such a thing? Do you see a problem, Mr. Attorney General, in terms of the constitutionality of the federal government telling the state you must give out driver's licenses?
No, I don't. I don't. Because what we're talking about here is the federal status of these immigrants living within a state, yes. But nonetheless, we're talking about the legal status federally of these individuals. And we are saying that they deserve, through, at least the Congress of the United States would say, that they are to be given some kind of identification for driving, driver's license, okay? So, and if you don't want to give them a state license, we'll give them a federal one.
So now what we've got is two kinds of driver's licenses, federal driver's license.
No, but, yeah, but we're only talking about a very few people. How many? How many, Governor? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how many people will come forward and take advantage of the program. But we do know the reality. You know, I think it stinks. I just think it stinks. Well, there's the newsflash. Mr. President, I got to get going. And I really, Mr. President, you don't want to talk about it. No, I don't want to talk about it. I got to get out of here. I got to get going. I'm going into a dinner. I'm sitting here like I'm listening to a ball game. I'm sitting in a limousine, okay? I got 50 Secret Service agents waiting to go to the bathroom, and they can't do that until they get me inside to this dinner. So do you mind? I mean, is it something that, you know, can wait? Go ahead.
Mr. President, I appreciate it, sir.
All right, thanks.
All right, so we do have Eric Holder still on the line with Governor Jan Brewer as we talk about the immigration deferred action bill.
I got to get.
And who's that?
I'm sorry, I forgot. I dropped something.
Is that the president?
That's the president? Yeah, I dropped it. Man, I got to get this notepad. Yeah, there it is. I lost the phone number.
Okay, sir, good night.
Uh-huh.
All right, so anyway.
This is Jan Brewer, Phil, and I'll tell you this from the bottom of my heart. I respect that man, and but I don't think he respects me, and I think that he thinks that I think that, you know, Attorney General, keep calling me governor. I don't want to think of you as a federal guy, I guess. Well, I am. I'm the Attorney General. I think that you, Eric, and the president think that I think you too, because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I think you guys think that I think I gotta think.
What's the problem here?
I don't know. I can't put it into words, but I think you two think that I think you two don't think.
Yeah.
See, that we're stupid. I think you're stupid. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Oh, so I'm right. You think that I think that you're stupid? Yeah. And I can tell you this, Governor, I'm not. I won't. I don't think.
You know what? You guys, this is beginning to irritate me. Let me just say.
Oh, well, he's getting irritated now, Eric. So, no, not Phil.
Hold on. So let me just say this. The federal position would be that the federal government can issue some kind of a federal ID that would be good for driving cars.
Yes. Bull crap. I'm telling you right now, Brewer, yes. Bull crap. Okay? You know, can I just tell you something? Have you guys, you state guys, haven't had much success lately. You took us to court on that health care thing. How'd that do? Well, yeah, huh? You guys want to waste, you talk about wasting taxpayers' money. Why don't you just go ahead and take us to federal court on every little thing, and you're going to get your ass handed to you each and every time. You got your ass handed to you on health care. You get your ass handed to you on this immigration thing. Everything, and that birther thing. Tell me about birther. I'm not a birther. Well, that's not what I heard. Bull crap, I'm not a birther. Well, that's not what I heard. Phil, I want him to apologize for that.
No.
This is Governor Brewer, Phil. Would you direct him?
I can't direct the Attorney General.
I'll tell you right now, apologize.
No, I won't.
I'm not a birther. Whatever.
Okay, put the Attorney General.
Yeah.
All right, so the President had to go into a meeting, and Jan Brewer just hung up on us, and maybe Eric Holder is still there. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm not a birther. Yeah, okay, whatever you say. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. Be right
Truth
back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Don't let her fool you. She's a birther.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we are left here with Attorney General Eric Holder. And we do appreciate you hanging in with us, sir. I don't know why the governor hung up. Bud Dickman on our staff is working on that right now.
That's okay, Phil. I don't mind. I can answer any questions you got. I mean, you're talking to her, and, you know, she's a governor, but she's...
She's what?
Well, she's a little goofy. I mean, you know...
Now, you're talking about the governor of Arizona.
No, I know I'm talking about the governor of Arizona, but she's talking... See, I don't know what her point is. You know, we're trying to solve a problem here. Now, if she wants to round them all up, who's the guy down there, the sheriff, whatever that guy is?
Yeah, I forget, Arpaio.
Yeah, that guy wants to put him in some kind of a boot camp or a camp or whatever, and that's fine. If they think that that is going to be less expensive in the overall, because let me tell you something, if she wants to put the cops on overtime, she wants to use federal agents or federal officers patrolling the border, you can't just pick and choose what it is you want to take from the feds in order to enforce whatever law you want to enforce. Now,
well, she said that they'll send their own officers down there, you know.
I know that, you know. But the fact is the governor's going to find that it's going to be a lot more expensive trying to enforce the removal of immigrants from Arizona, that is to arrest, to detain, and then to transport, the number of officers it's going to take, and just the overall, I think it's just going to find it's going to be a lot more expensive.
Hold on for a minute. What?
Yeah, they're on line two.
Okay, Governor Brewer is back on the line.
Bull crap. Who's that? It's Governor Brewer. What do you mean more expensive? It's going to be more expensive there, Jan? Governor Brewer, look, if I say, I just don't like this guy talking behind my back, you know. If I say that what we need is the federal help in enforcing the immigration laws so that we can get these people, and forget it.
Is she gone now?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Attorney General. She hung up again.
What a weird ass. So, anyway.
Well, all right. I mean, she's a governor, so let's give her some respect. So you're saying...
I'll give her respect. She's a weird ass.
So you're saying...
I'm saying this. I'm saying that if she doesn't want to do this driver's license deal that we mapped out, it's a beautiful thing. She wants to get a bunch of cops, a bunch of federals, or state people, or county people, or whoever she wants to hire. She wants to get the Minutemen down there, or the Boy Scouts. It's all the same to me. It's not going to be cheap. And I got news for you. The hassle... And the public relations hammering that the state of Arizona is going to look like, it's going to look bad in the news, man. I ain't saying Nazi Germany, but it's the images of them dragging people across the state, you know, throwing them back into Mexico, sticking them in vans or whatever they're going to do. It's going to be used, and the images are going to be transmitted around the world. It's going to look bad.
Well, you know, law is the law, no matter how it looks. Okay, would you agree with that?
The law is the law, no matter how it looks. I don't know what that means.
What it means is, if we've got a law that has to be enforced, regardless of how it, quote, looks, this is the United States of America. There are protections in place for people, but the law is the law. It has to be enforced. We can't be deciding which laws we enforce based upon how it may look in a newspaper or on a TV station. Can we?
No,
all right, so are you going to tell her that she can't enforce the law, or at least ask that the law be enforced?
I'm saying there's a reasonable way of doing it. And
well, and the state of Arizona may not agree with the federal interpretation of that.
Well, you know...
Look, we already know that the federal government ignores, in some instances, federal marijuana laws. There are states that have medical marijuana dispensaries.
No, I'm cracking down on that crap now. I'm cracking down on that crap now.
Oh, yeah, I know you're cracking down, I should say.
You said crapping.
Yeah, I know I did.
Well, it sounded funny.
Okay.
But I'm cracking down on the marijuana laws now.
Yeah, I know you are, because you're probably getting some political pressure from people in various states in Congress. So what's the quid pro quo there?
Well, the quid pro quo. I don't need a quid pro quo to enforce federal law.
Well, you guys, for the first time, you guys are coming in like Bush did, and you busted all these medical marijuana centers in California.
That hurts when you're comparing me to Bush. And
well, that's exactly what happened.
All right. So we came into California because we wanted to play ball and some other stuff. We want them to play ball and some other stuff.
Exactly.
We want them to play ball on the immigration thing.
They want me to come in there and start busting on their marijuana. Okay, fine, we'll do it. It's federal law. We should be in there doing it. But I'll tell you something. There's all kinds of federal ways of doing things. And if you want me to come in and do stuff federally, like Arizona, they don't want me to come in and do anything federally this way. They want me to come in and do federally their way. Well, guess what? There's only one federal way, and that's my way. Okay?
Well, you're not the
in this case, I am. In this case, I'm the Attorney General. Jan Brewer is the governor of a state. That makes me God Almighty, and that makes her one of the disciples.
What?
You heard what I said, Phil. If she wants me to come in there and assist her federally in getting this immigration thing under control, then we do it my way, or we don't do it at all.
So that's how it's going to get played.
That's the ball game. That's the name of the game. That's right.
All right, Governor, I mean...
Oh, man, if you call me Governor one more time, I'm going to have you arrested. I'll find some charge and...
All right, I mean, Mr. Attorney General, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
There is Eric Holder here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We had Jan Brewer from Arizona. We had President Obama in the limousine on his way into a fundraiser. And all talking about immigration in the state of Arizona and whether or not that's going to become a problem that gets solved. 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show. We have Jeff Dowder coming up next
Phil
hour
Henry.
On
Pussy Riot. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Excuse me, I think we had the microphone potted up just a little hot there, bud.
Yeah, I've got to pot it down.
Just pot it down a bit. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, wish they would, and I sure wish they would, because it's, anyway, but we do. 877-876-7445, but it is talk radio, and it's just ever so important and serious and sacred, and isn't it, though? No, it isn't. All right. We are going to be talking to Ray Jeffries, who is a former police chief in a very small town in upstate New York called Sidney, New York. I think it's a sort of a quasi-suburban part of Utica, New York. He's a longtime chief of police, police officer. We're going to be talking to him about the anti-Putin stunt that has now earned this so-called punk band, and I say punk band because that's probably what they think of as punk in Russia. The name of the group is Pussy Riot. These girls have been given 2 years in jail. What did they do that earned them 2 years in jail in Russia? Well, what they did was they essentially went into a church and began performing a sort of an anti-Putin series of songs and recitations and so forth that was not looked upon favorably, I can tell you, by the members of the church. At one point, if you look at the video, there are members of the clergy trying to pull them off of the stage. And the judge that sentenced these girls in Pussy Riot to 2 years in jail said that they had committed, quote, grave crimes, including, listen to this, the insult and humiliation of the Christian faith and inciting religious hatred. This is the difference between societies. And in America, where we have such a long-standing tradition of religious freedom, and that includes not believing in any God at all, we take it real serious. In Russia, in their democracy, they want religious expression protected to the extent that you cannot or should not humiliate the Christian faith, but you also cannot and should not incite religious hatred, which is something we also agree with in this country, or we do agree with. Meaning, if this was a synagogue that those girls went into, and they began shouting anti-Jewish slogans, or let's say fascist or Nazi slogans, what would you call that? Now, I understand that they are the Christian faith does not reflect a racial type as the Jewish faith can. There are Jewish people, there are Jewish religious people, also Jewish by ancestry, by bloodline, Mediterranean, Semitic people. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But if we're just talking about religious hatred, it's like spray painting a swastika on a synagogue, maybe, then maybe that's what we're talking about. The case began in February when the women infiltrated the Cathedral of Christ the Savior wearing colorful baklavas and prancing around in front of the golden holy doors leading to the altar, dancing, chanting, and lip-syncing for what would later become a music video of a profane song in which they beseeched the Virgin Mary to rid Russia of Mr. Putin. Security guards quickly stripped them of their guitars, but the video was completed with splices of footage from another church. Because of the support they have received from stars like Madonna and Sting, the women of Pussy Riot have become more famous, at least outside Russia, than other political opposition leaders here, some of whom are also the subjects of investigations and prosecutions, and some of whom are probably cooling their jets in jail someplace. But while the women became minor celebrities, Pussy Riot is far more political than musical. Its members have never commercially released a song or an album, and they do not seem to have any serious aspirations to do so. When their trial opened late last month, the women apologized, saying that they never intended to offend the Orthodox Church, but rather sought to make a political statement against Mr. Putin and against the Church Patriarch, Kirill I, or Kirill I.
Kirill I? It sounds almost like on Star Trek.
Yeah.
No, I said it wrong. Kirill, K-I-R-I-L-L.
That like Klingon.
No, it's not Klingon, man.
No, I said it's like Klingon.
What is it with you guys in Star Trek? No, it's not Klingon.
I said like Klingon.
Yeah, he said it's like it.
Okay, great. Yeah, sounds just like a Klingon name. You win. For supporting Mr. Putin's campaign for a third term as president. But Judge Sirova delivered her decision. She said that the political comments were spliced into the video later and that the action in the church was therefore motivated by religious hatred, saying that there was no political intent in the church because those comments did not come until after they left the church. They came in the post-production, if you will. She also cited evidence that the women had psychological disorders. Russia's got a real bad history of sticking people in a nut bin if they have a political problem, you know?
Yeah, they put them like in a Siberia.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, what they do is they'll put them in Siberia if they say a bad thing.
What about that doctor, remember that movie you talked about, Dr. Ago or Dr. Babago?
Dr. Zhivago?
Yeah, that guy going to the nut house?
Yeah, they put him in a nut house, too, and they put his wife in a nut house. I think everybody in that movie went in a nut house.
Man, that's what they do?
Not everybody in the movie went in a nut house. I don't remember anybody going in a nut house.
Dr. Zhivago done.
Wait a second. Dr. Zhivago, you know that's just a fictitious book.
No, it ain't. That guy's real.
No, it's not. The book was written by Boris Pasternak, who was...
Who's he?
He's the writer of Dr. Zhivago. It's a fictitious book. It is a piece of political criticism of the Soviet system. And,
No, wait. You got it all wrong. You got it way all wrong.
What have I got wrong?
Dr. Zhivago or whatever.
Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago.
Okay. That guy, he is, what? And you're saying he didn't go in a nut house. Now you saying?
Bud, you just told me, you just went, wait, like I got everything wrong, and you were about ready to set me straight, and now you're asking me, I can't stand people that do that, you know?
Yeah, but what are you saying?
If you guys will shut up, I'll tell you. I'm saying that Boris Pasternak was a writer, a dissenting artist in the Soviet Union. He wrote the book Dr. Zhivago. It was banned by the government. It was critical of the Soviet Union in the Soviet system, and they said it misrepresented the revolution, and ba-ba-ba-boom-ba-boom. And you guys brought it up, bud. You brought it up because you said in that book there's people getting thrown in nut houses. I don't remember one nut house that anybody went in.
Well, what was the one where they go in a nut house?
I don't know. I think Boris Pasternak might have... Maybe they put Boris Pasternak in a nut house.
That's what I mean.
That's not what you said.
But they're putting him in a nut house, huh?
That the Soviet system did. I don't know, in Russia, but they've got a bad tradition of that in Russia as part of the Soviet system. If you had a political dissent, they'd put you in a nut house. Can you imagine how scary that is? That all of a sudden you're crazy because you happen to have a political opinion that dissents from the... And that I think that's terribly destructive. So we're going to get on the line here in a moment. Ray Jeffries, who is a police officer, to talk about the, crime and punishment, both here in the United States and in Russia, now Russia, formerly the largest republic, the largest state in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, that is the USSR, that is the Soviet Union.
That is the place where the nut house, that is...
All right, thank you. And we'll be back with that, because I think it's... I'd like to find out specifically what's up with this particular group of women, Pussy Riot. 2 years in prison for this demonstration that was at first put on inside of an Orthodox church. Later, some anti-Putin comments spliced into the video presentation. The judge has said that there may be psychological problems with these women, as well as inciting religious hatred. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Ray Jeffries joining us here from upstate New York, Sydney, New York. I used to work in Utica. I was just talking to the guys. How close are you to Utica?
Well, we're in the Mohawk Valley here. We're probably about 4 or 5 miles from... We're 4 or 5 miles from New York Mills, which is a larger suburban area. And we have crossed enforcement with New York Mills Police with the Oneida County, which is the Sheriff's Department. So we're not too far from either one of those places. And
right there in the Mohawk Valley, huh?
Yes, sir.
So you've been a police officer, and you've also commented on this story for other media, as well as you wrote a little piece for one of the New York weeklies about this particular case. What is it about this case that interested you?
Well, the thing that interested me, first and foremost, Phil, was the idea of the issue of public order and maintaining public order, especially in a country like Russia, which is the ancestral home of my mother's family. And I believe that in a country that is beginning its experiments with democracy, you do have to be careful in maintaining a civil society. You want people to be able to express how they feel, but you also want to maintain a society that is civil and one that is it will not be prone to disorder. And so when it comes to this kind of a thing, which is the invasion of a religious service, I feel very strongly that the Russian authorities did the right thing. If it had been me and it had been my police department...
I want to let people know you are no longer a police chief.
That is correct.
And you are doing consulting?
I had a consultancy for about 5 years, and I'm fully retired now.
Okay. All right, go ahead. So if that had been your police force and this took place at a church in your jurisdiction, what?
It would have been very difficult for me to restrain myself, because for people to stand in a church and behave like that, they deserve what they get. And I say that knowing that people have the right to free speech, but to go into a church and dress up and prance around, I can't tell you how that angers me personally. And one of the things we have to do as police officers, we've got to keep our personal life out of our professional view.
Absolutely.
And of all of the things that I would encounter in my line of work that would make it most difficult for me to do that, it would be this religious, the desecration of a religious service.
And well, now, so that's how you see this, huh?
Well, without question, and I believe that you, by point was proven. I think I heard you say that the young women apologized.
Yes, one of them did apologize, saying they meant no disrespect to the church.
Well, so they admit that they had offended people's religious sensibility, and that, I believe, is basically an admission of guilt, and so they deserve to whatever the full weight of the law is in that country. And Russia, you said, has a tradition of psychiatric incarceration. I don't personally like the idea of that, but that's their country. And this is something that really strikes me at a very, very organic level.
So this is something that you're feeling. You're not speaking now just as a cop, are you?
No, I'm speaking as a cop. But, you know, even cops have areas of emotional contact in some instances with some crimes against children, crimes against women. I don't care, the most hard-bitten cop that I have ever worked with or for in the years I've been a police officer, you find it very hard to remain calm and detached and aloof when you see crimes like that.
We're talking here with Ray Jeffries, a retired police chief. He's in Sydney, New York tonight, and we're talking about Pussy Riot. They got 2 years in jail in Russia for this demonstration of hooliganism, as they call it in... Do you know, Ray, what is hooliganism?
Well, I think it's what these women did, which was leaping around, raising the knees up to the chest, pointing the toes, and leaping around in multicolored clothing with the... but not wearing anything underneath. One of the reasons, Phil, that this affects me, that makes me angry, it goes back to my childhood. My brother would regularly get me in trouble for things. So I would have to go into my room and spend the afternoon in my room. And I would look out the window and see my brother, who knew that I was in my room and knew that I was basically being punished for something he did. And he would be leaping around in the yard, wearing a shawl over his head, as if he was, I don't know, he looked like a woman or something with a shawl over his head, but he'd be leaping around, he'd be wearing his underwear, and sort of doing this little pointed-toe dance to mock me. You see what I'm saying?
So your brother is goading you?
Yeah, he was goading me, he was mocking me, he was laughing at me, and leaping about. And this happened, especially in the summer months, at least once a week, where I would get in trouble. I'd be in my room, I'd look out the window, and there would be my brother. Sometimes he'd paint his feet, he'd paint his face, he'd leap around, he'd pull his underwear down, he'd do all the things that a kid's going to do. It struck me so deeply that when I heard about these women prancing about, and when the word prance is used, it has a particularly devastating effect on me. So I find it very hard to be an objective police officer and even an objective American police officer when I hear of people being taunted by this kind of prancing around, barefoot, painted face with a shawl pulled over your head, that kind of thing.
Talking to Ray Jeffries here from Sydney, New York. So you are admitting here that any kind of a provocative performance that mimics what your brother did to you, it kind of gets to you.
I think it would get to any police officer. Every police officer has his own motivation. For instance, you see police officers who get very angry when they see, let's say, when they see a child abused by a parent or a child a victim of violence, because they remember when they beat their kid up or if they beat up their wife, and they are ashamed of that, so they want to make sure.
You're talking about the cop now.
Yes, sir. The police officer.
But wouldn't it be more like when they were kids getting beat up?
The police that I know, that I've talked to, they get very emotional when they see a kid beaten up by a parent because they used to do that themselves to their kids, and they can't believe that they did, and no one arrested them for it, so they want to go after the parent that's doing it.
Wow, that's a tale. By the way, if you have police officers in your employ who have beaten their kids up, so to speak, why are they police officers?
Well, this is nothing that they were caught doing. They were not incarcerated for it.
Would you keep a man in your employ as a police chief if you found out he used to beat his kids up?
It would depend. depend on the kind of police officer he was now. If he went out and aggressively, you know, aggressively sought out people that beat up kids, then I would definitely keep him on as a police officer, so long as he would come clean with me. And I'd say to a police officer, if I'm looking at his sheet and I say, you've got a lot of guys here, you've been arrested for beating up kids. Did you used to beat up kids? Yes, sir, I did. I'd say, all right, well, I appreciate your honesty, because that's what you want. You want an honest cop, and you want a guy that says, yes, I used to smack my own kids around, but I don't do it anymore, and that's why I want to go out and arrest these guys.
All right, Ray Jeffries with us, former police chief in Sydney, New York. Ray, question for you before we take our break. Because I'm a little bit, I want to know now, how much of your view of what happened in Russia is, in other words, you feel these girls got the right punishment, correct?
Yes, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Which I think probably goes, most people, you know, are in favor of letting them go of the free speech.
Well, most of those are these Madonna and people like that. I think the average person probably agrees with me a little bit in saying that when you leap around and taunt people and pull your pants down and do stupid things like that in a church.
Well, I don't know that they did. Did they mimic exactly what your brother did to you?
From the reports I've read, yes.
Okay. How much of your view of this, therefore, is an actual clear-eyed, sober, and objective view coming from a police officer, and how much of your view is influenced by how your brother taunted you?
Well, I think we are products of our environment, Phil, and much of it is influenced how Gene treated me, my older brother. But I don't think my reaction to that was wrong. To see Gene taunting me in the way that he did, lifting his knees up to his chest and dancing around in the backyard with his underwear halfway down his legs, I reacted the way I think anybody should. I got angry, and I wanted, and I swore revenge.
Hold on, Ray.
Yeah.
877-876-7445. Ray Jeffries, former police chief, believes those girls in Russia got what they deserve. We'll be right back. And with me is Ray Jeffries in Sydney, New York. And Ray, we got your brother Gene, the older brother that I guess got you in trouble. We're going to talk to him in a couple of minutes here. And you two guys can kick around the dynamic.
Okay, so you were able to get, I didn't know if he was at that number that I gave you or not.
Yeah, we were able to get in touch with him.
Because he's been out of, he travels for business, and I think he was out of town.
Well, he lives in Buffalo.
Yes, sir.
And we were able to get him at home.
Oh, okay, great.
What is your relationship like with him now?
My relationship with my brother is great. I love my brother very much. What happened to me in those days has definitely influenced my thinking as a police officer.
All right, but Ray's feeling is that the Women in Pussy Riot, this so-called punk group in Russia that was given two years in prison yesterday, I think technically we're talking about yesterday, whatever the date today is, the 17th. Let's just look at my calendar here. So was it the 17th or the 16th?
Yeah, I think they died on the 17th.
It was the 17th. It was today in Russia, but obviously the time change is big.
Okay. They have been given 2 years of jail time. The judge said that she believes there could be some psychological issues. She said that it was inciting religious hate. She said that it was also disrespectful of the Christian faith. You agree with all of that?
I do. I do, Phil. And if that had been me, as I said to you before, if I'd been a police officer on scene, I would have done a lot more than just put them in handcuffs. I would have given them something, as we like to say, I would have given them something to remind them of me.
Now, what is that?
I definitely would have given them something to remember, either...
Well, are we talking about a physical...
You know something? If they gave me the excuse that they was resisting arrest, I would put a knee right up into their solar plexus so fast they'd throw up. That's how strongly...
And that's police brutality, isn't it?
No, that's not police brutality if they resist. That's not police brutality if they resist. And from what I saw on the video is they resisted the officer.
Well, they resisted one of the nuns.
No. I'm not talking about a nun now. They resisted the officer. The minute they resisted me, I would have put a knee into their solar plexus so fast they would have vomited on the stage. They would have vomited right there on their little videotape. That's what I would have done. And that's how I feel. And that's what my brother Gene did to me.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel fine about it. I mean, at the time, you know, he made me angry.
I'm going to get Gene on the line here. Gene Jeffries is in Buffalo, New York. He is the older brother here of Ray Jeffries, the former. Gene, how are you, sir? Are you there?
Hi, Phil.
And this is Gene.
Gene Jeffries, yeah. Hey, Gene. Hey, Ray, is that you? Yeah, how you been? I'm doing very good, thank you.
And, Gene, thanks for joining us. You're the older brother here of Chief Jeffries.
Yes.
You proud of your brother?
I'm proud of all of my brothers and sisters, all my siblings. We have a great family. Me too, brother.
All right, well, your brother here, Ray, was saying that when you guys were kids, he would take the blame for something you did. He'd be in, mother would send him to the room, and you'd be outside taunting him.
Yeah.
You
know how you used to take one of mom's, you'd take mom's dress and you pull it over your head? Yeah, I used to do a dance. Yeah, he'd do this little dance where you'd taunt me. Yes, I remember that. I told Mr. Henry that made me so angry to see you taunting me. Well, it was a very specific, what I did was a very specific thing, Mr. Henry. And when you're a kid, of course, you're thinking of all kinds of stupid stuff to do.
Yeah, and if you're a brother.
And I was his older brother. I still am, but... So I tortured Ray a little bit. I knew that it drove him crazy to see me prancing around with my underwear halfway down while he had to stay in the room.
Right.
And so... I would do that. I'd pull, take one of my mom's dresses off the clothesline, I'd pull it over my head, and then I'd pull my underwear down, and I'd start doing this high kick kind of a dance and a prance. You know, I'd pull my knees up to my, and I'd start dancing around, laughing and pointing at him.
Right. It used to drive me out of my mind.
Right. And I know he hates it if he sees anybody doing that now. That's why he can't go to football games with the drum major.
I don't like to go to football games or watch a drum major, yeah.
Why?
Because of the high kick. Right.
Don't you feel then that, Gene, that this kind of warped your brother?
Well, I mean, we're all products of where we are from and the things that have happened to us. When you use the word warp, I don't think it's warp. I think it's just what Ray saw something he doesn't like, you know?
Right. Well, I can tell you I don't like the high kick, the high knees. Every time I see somebody kick their knee, you know, bring the knees up high, I want to do things that will make them not be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, you're talking about like a breaking the legs?
You know,
to me that's a dangerous way for a police officer to think. Well, you know that I've got a very good record.
I think there's two brothers talking to each other here. Now, Gene, you admit that you taunted your brother. And he's now...
Yeah, but I'm not going to take responsibility for... And just so you know, Ray has never been guilty of any kind of a crime like that.
No.
My record is very good, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. But you are saying that when the Pussy Riot girls started in on their demonstration or whatever it was, when you saw the tape of them dancing about, it made you angry.
Is this what this is about, Pussy Riot?
Yeah, Mr. Henry's asked me about that case in Russia.
Okay. I saw that, and I thought about that.
Yeah, when I saw those girls with the dancing around and prancing and mocking, and I don't know if they pulled their pants down, which I can tell you right now, I'm a healthy male, but I don't want to see them do that. I can tell you that.
No, I wouldn't want that neither.
I got angry.
What if they had? Can I ask you? Can I ask my brother a question, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
What if they had pulled their pants down?
I would have probably put my foot through the television set.
See what I mean?
I would have. I would have put my foot right through the television set because I would have seen you. You know.
And all of that prancing around and everything.
What? Tell me, ask a question. What did you do? Because Ray said that you. Gene did things that got Ray in trouble.
That's correct, yes.
So you did what? Like, for instance?
I'm about Winninger.
Yeah, Mrs. Winninger was a lady. She lived across the street from us. We grew up in the Buffalo, New York area, Mr. Hendry.
Okay.
And a lady, Winninger, she lived across the street from us. Now, one day I had an apple, there's an apple orchard right along the side of our parents' house, which is still there. And the apple was rotten, but I was playing with these rotten apples, and my brother Ray was there. And I said, I don't know what I said to you, Ray. I said, look at all these rotten apples. And Ray says, you can't throw a rotten apple, can't get no grip, because it's going to be like mush. I said, bet me, you know, as we used to bet each other all the time on these things. So this old lady, Winninger, is across the street. She's getting out of her car, and she had a hat, one of these big hats that women wore. So I took this apple, and I threw it on a fly about 50 yards. It hit her square in the head, and it just it splattered all over this hat and knocked her into a little baby pool she had for her grandkids. So she literally... When I hit her in the head with the apple, she did a full somersault into a baby pool.
Yeah, and you took off running.
And I took off running, and Ray's standing there. Why you didn't run, I don't know.
Well, I didn't do nothing wrong, you know. And so I stood there, and sure enough, this old lady Winninger comes up out of the pool, and Jean's not kidding. She did a full somersault into this baby pool that she had for her grandkids. She comes up with his hat's completely ruined. It's got dirty, rotten apple all over it. And she comes walking across the street toward me. And that's when another apple come firing out of the orchard behind me. Yeah, because I went into the orchard behind Ray. And
you threw another apple?
I did, yeah. Because I figured she couldn't see me. I fired another apple, and this hit her square in the forehead.
Right, and it knocked her. Again, she does another one of these somersaults, and she fell into that compost that Mom had.
Our mother had a compost heap. It was mostly, garbage, the kind of stuff you make with compost.
Yeah.
This lady Winninger falls into this compost. Make a long story short, she talked to my mother and my father. My brother had to go, and he had to go into the room for the afternoon, and I went outside and pulled my pants down.
Yeah.
Why did you throw an apple at not once, but twice?
Because she was coming over to our house. And,
yeah, but I wound up getting into trouble for that, see?
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that, brother, and I'm sorry. We were kids, you know? You don't know what's going to happen when you're a kid, right?
You hit this lady twice in the head with an apple, and once she falls into this pool, and another time she falls into a compost heap.
Yeah, but Winninger... If ever there was an old lady on the street that was begging for it from the minute she got out of bed until the minute she went to bed at night, it was old lady Winninger walking around with those stupid hats and that car, that two-tone...
Yeah, it was an Oldsmobile.
Two-tone Oldsmobile.
Well, I don't understand. It doesn't sound like, as an adult, you could not possibly approve of that behavior if it was one of your kids.
No, I don't approve of it now, but you asking what I did...
But you got your brother in trouble... And your brother was traumatized by that, you see?
No.
It traumatized me to the point where if he was dancing around, you know.
I know.
And it traumatized your brother to the point where he saw that on the videotape of these Russian girls, and naturally his thoughts turned to beating them, kicking them in the solar plexus, and all kinds of things. We'll be back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's a wild story, isn't it?
That his brother got in trouble and threw an apple?
His brother threw a couple of rotten apples at an old lady across the street, got his brother in trouble, and got him in trouble, and his brother taunted him for the rest of the afternoon. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And the old lady, she finally married that guy 20 years younger than him.
Phil, 877-876-7445 here, talking to Ray and Gene Jeffries here, and we're talking about Pussy Riot, by the way, speaking of Pussy Riot, that's pretty much what it's been on our talk lines tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we've got not females, but the male version, as they've been weighing in on a lot of the topics this evening.
You got a lot of these, I hear what you're saying, these pussies. You got a lot of these, what, pussies?
Well, we've had a lot of guys calling and asking if they can be my wife. I don't know, it's, and I think they're all calling from the South. Anyway, and maybe some from upstate.
Yeah, there got to be some from upstate.
Anyway, so Gene, you traumatized your brother.
Yeah, well, I didn't traumatize, but what I did is I hit the old lady with the apple, yeah. Well, that was one time, but the other time was a fire that he set, and it was the shed. You know, remember the guy's shed? Yeah, that's right. I set fire to a guy's shed. I was helping him clean his van. And this was, I forget who the guy was. He was a renter? Well, he was renting the Morley's house, Mr. and Mrs. Morley. And this man had a van, and my brother Ray, my brother Gene went next door to help this guy clean his van. And he was using a solvent of some kind. What was you using? I was just using like a spot remover. Well, actually, no, you're right. I was using some gasoline, but I wasn't trying to do nothing, you know. Well, whatever happened, he was helping this guy with his van, trying to clean his van up, and he wound up setting fire to the guy's van and setting fire to the house. And he burned the house down and burned the guy's van up.
Good Lord.
Yeah. But no one got hurt. No one was hurt. Now, when the cops arrived, I took off running. Now, I didn't blame my brother. But my brother was there taking pictures for his school newspaper.
Yeah.
And the guy there that I had been helping, that renter, I forget the guy's name, he says, well, he's one of the brothers. And the cop asked him, he said, well, who set the fire? He said, well, it was one of them. And he pointed at Ray.
Yeah, and I said to this guy, was it me? He says, well, it doesn't matter. Both of you guys are brothers, and I can't remember. And
what, was this guy an idiot?
Yeah, he was a complete idiot. A complete idiot. He was he was one of these hippies, you know, real stoned out and everything like this.
Okay. So he blames you, Ray?
Yeah, and I told him, I said, it wasn't me. He says, well, I don't remember, but it was one of you, you know, this kind of deal. And I said, you lousy. Anyway, this guy, so I wound up, the police didn't do anything because they wound up taking his hippie in for it, which is what they should have done.
Right.
But I wound up getting blamed by my parents, and I had to be in the room for the afternoon. And there's my brother prancing around with his pants off, doing the kinds of things that, you know, that he does to piss me off.
Well, I as a result, it sounds to me like your brother, Ray Jeffries here, was traumatized by your actions.
No,
it does. It sounds like that, you know... What, I don't know the relationship, you guys. It sounds very weird.
But I didn't get him in trouble that time. No, it was not my brother's fault. It was the fault of this dumbass hippie who goes, no, that wasn't the guy that I was helping.
But the cops figured out that, Gene, you didn't do it.
Yeah, the cops said, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, we were cleaning this van. He says, is it your van? He says, it's my landlord. I said, I clean it. He says, well, you using that gasoline? He says, yeah. But he says, yeah, but the other guy had it. And I said, and the cop says, which guy? He says, well, his brother, but he's the guy. Yeah, so the cop, this guy says, I did. I said, I didn't burn no gasoline.
So this hippie.
Yeah, the hippie tried to get him in trouble. I took off running because he set fire to everything. Almost burned this guy's complete house down. And I got in trouble for my father. You know, my father said, you stay in the room in the afternoon. I said, I can tell you right now it's going to happen, Dad. He goes, what? I says, Gene's going to pull his pants down. He says, no, your brother won't do nothing like that. My brother goes in, goes in and reads his paper, and there's my brother pulling his pants down, prancing around and doing that prance dance, you know? But that's why he can't go to football games to see the drum major do a prancing step.
The drum major, there's something about what your brother did that pissed you off so much that it has colored your view as a police officer. Anybody that exhibits any kind of radical behavior like that, you want to beat them within an inch of their life.
That's pretty much it, yes, sir.
And you don't feel responsible for that, Gene?
No, I don't think so. No way. You know, I the one time I hit the old lady with the apple, I was trying to save you. Oh, the hell you was. No, I was.
Well, how are you trying to save him?
The old lady was coming over, so I took a beat on her with the apple again, and I fired a strike. I mean, the first one I hit her in the head, and the second one, man, right down the pipe. Now, you hit her in the forehead, she fell into that pig slop.
All right, well, so we haven't really spent a lot of time talking about Pussy Riot, have we?
Well, we can, I got all the time in the world to talk about that, you know? No, he ain't talking about that.
All right. Well, in any event, guys, you can get together and talk about that yourselves, other than the fact that, as a police officer, you agree with the penalty that was meted out there. And a lot of Americans don't agree with you, Ray.
Well, that's their right. But I think what they did to those girls in Russia was great, and I'm glad they're going to prison. I hope they stink the jail out from their bodies rotting out. That's what I hope. And I'll tell you right now, my brother didn't do anything bad. My brother made me appreciate law and order instead of dancing around and prancing around like some fruit. I can't tell you how that pisses me off. Yeah, see, I did good.
Yeah, okay. Listen, thanks very much. Best of luck, guys, okay?
You bet. Thank you very much, Phil.
That's the Jeffries brothers from upstate New York, one of whom is a police chief, former police chief. The other is whatever he is. But because of their relationship as brothers, the younger brother became a police chief, has these violent, violent tendencies.
Yeah, I want to tell you what, knee those girls in a solar plexus.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it. Wants to knee them in the solar plexus and essentially brutalize them because of his brother pulling his pants down. Anyway, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to take a break from all of that. We're going to come up. We got our news and information hour.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? Did you hear those two nuts? I don't know if I was talking with two guys playing with a full deck there.
Well, the one guy sound, I meant the police chief guy sound okay, but that other brother sound whack.
Yeah, the guy hit the old lady with an apple.
I don't understand that. There's a level of psychological damage there, and neither one cop to it. They both sound like they're just normal guys, and one wants to, knee people in the gut. Anyway, coming up this weekend on Sunday at noon Pacific Daylight Time, it is the first preseason game of the Milwaukee Lions. They're at the Utah Flaming Cavalry in the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference. Game time is at noon. It'll be carried by Wang Radio and the Phil Hendry, Phil TV at HD at philhendryshow.com, the audio portion only. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Can I get a hat, an autographed hat for my wife? And if you can make it to Darlene.
Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show. Go online and get a backstage pass and enjoy our radio show by way of the podcasting and the video casting, because I'll tell you right now, that's where we make our money. That's where we make our money. We make our money with our website. We make our money with our great subscribers. We make our money with television gigs. We make our money with voiceover gigs. This is the radio business now. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Radio doesn't make any money. What you do now, radio is such a pathetic business. It's now it's like a billboard. Where a radio talent makes his money now is not in radio. We make our money in other media. You know, we sell subscriptions, we do podcasts, we have advertising, we do all that stuff. And the radio industry, the multi-million dollar radio industry that's really just cornered by a handful of people and doesn't, really doesn't pay the talent anything. The radio industry doesn't do anything but just sit there and provide a megaphone for it all. They don't program, they don't do anything. I'm sorry. I mean, I know that that hurts people. Here's what I run into every single solitary day. Every day. When I say this, this is what they say in the radio world. Don't talk about that. Okay, I won't talk about it. Are you guys going to do something about it? No. So in other words, you're going to continue to do no business, basically. Just let the industry fall into the toilet, and I can't talk about it. So that's what our solution is? Yeah, okay. Well, you'll forgive me if I don't accept your invitation to attend whatever radio convention it is that you want me to attend. I just got invited to go to something in New Orleans, and it's a very nice guy that invited me. And so what the hell am I going to what am I going to do down there? Well, you know, you'll be at the... Do what, man? Talk to people about how they can be better on the radio, better radio. You know what I could do? I could open up a radio school. If I was really dishonest, this is what I would do. I would take out an ad and I'd say, Phil Hendry will teach you how to be a radio personality. And I guarantee you, I would make thousands every month. There'd be people up and down the North American continent wanting to learn from Phil Hendry how to be a radio personality. But I'm not going to do that to people. I'm not going to have people pay me and teach them a skill that is not valued in the radio business. I will say this. If you're a prospective radio talent, if you want to go into radio, don't. Go into your own online business. Go into internet radio. Go into internet television. Don't go into radio. Because what's happening in radio is they don't like talent. They want to turn it into a jukebox. So get an internet radio show. Get your own website. Get your own video casting. Do your own podcasting. Sell some advertising. And you can make a nice living. And it's not that difficult either. It's shocking how easy it is, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, the radio industry, I guess, is going to be left to its own devices. Now, that's what I would tell. I wouldn't say anything other than that. I'm not going to, you know, lie to people. That's what I would say if I went to that thing in New Orleans. But what we do on this end is a subscription business. I talk to guys like Jimmy Pardo. He has a subscription business, and there's others. There's guys that sell advertising. I'm going to talk to Bubba this weekend. Bubba does a very good job. He's got all kinds of advertisers on his website. He has his network of stations, and he has his business, and that's what's happening right now. Because radio's ability to generate income doesn't exist anymore. There's nobody in that business that can cinch it up for a day's worth of work, go out, and actually make some money. So talent is left to its own devices, and that's fine. Now, I know I'm telling you guys a lot of business inside information that you don't quite get. What I'm basically telling you is this. What happened to newspapers? You remember that, right? That's what's happening to radio. What happened to the newspaper business? Where they all folded up, and there's maybe one or two left in the big cities. Same thing's happening to radio. Now, if you're a newspaper writer, what do you do? Well, you can blog, you can go online and do, you can write for the Daily Beast, you can do that kind of thing. You can go and write for the Huffington Post and then have her insult you when you say, do you pay for the people that write for you? And she says something like, no, I don't do that, whatever that Zsa Zsa Gabor voice of hers, you know.
Yeah, it's yelling like Zsa Zsa Gabor, you know.
Name it Gabor.
I mean...
Gabor, G-A-B-O-R.
Yeah.
You could go ahead and try and write for Zsa Zsa over there, you know.
But you know, Vin, that here at the Huffington Post, you know,
you do that, but she ain't paying, man.
Yeah, they're not going to pay nobody?
She ain't paying nothing. She said already, did you hear what she said? The so-called progressive Ms. Huffington, the one who is, oh, goodness gracious, she's just really all about the working man. Boy, she told those writers to go ahead and pound it sideways, man. When those cats said, hey, you know, maybe we'll just strike your website. Maybe we'll strike your news service. And she said, go ahead and try it. So she sounded like any slob back in the day who owned a company and wanted to muscle the people. And I'm not saying that what those guys were going to do was the smartest thing in the world. I mean, face it, guys. You know, there's too much There's far too much competition. There are far too many writers. There's far too much opportunity to start a website, quote-unquote, a business on the Internet. No one's going to give a sweet, you know, diddly squat about you not getting paid by the Huffington Post. Go out and start your own news service. Compete with the Zsa Zsa, you know?
Yeah, you got to go out and start your own news service, man. But she, man, she just sold her company for $300 million.
She did. She's got a lot of money. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
There's nothing. I mean, the Huffington Post has done a very smart thing. They have morphed from being a liberal organ into a fairly mainstream. They got rid of all of the insulting and unfunny satirical pieces they were doing against the right. The that thing that they published about Sarah Palin's developmentally disabled grandson, I think, or son, I forget which, was probably the last straw for even a good old Zsa Zsa, man. When she read that, it was like, it wasn't funny. It was offensive beyond all get out. It was the pathetic attempt by the, you know, progressive left. And believe me when I tell you, man, political humor these days, it's hit and miss on either side of the fence, but this was really bad. So she backed away from a lot of that stuff and became a lot more mainstream. They even reported sports over there now. You know, so go out and see if you can compete with that. Look what Matt Drudge. You think the Drudge Report is what it used to be? I don't know. How many hits do you think Matt gets now?
I'll still go with him. You know, I mean, a lot of people do. He doesn't get the play a lot of people get, but
I don't. You know, I used to have Matt Drudge as my one of my go to sites. I can't tell you the last time I just use Google News now.
Yeah, Google News and Yahoo.
All right, man, don't do that.
Yahoo.
Okay, bud, he told you, don't do it.
He told me, but you didn't.
All right, I'm telling you, don't do it.
What, Yahoo?
Shut up, man.
He's going to slug you again. Is that what you want? Do you want that?
What?
He's going to belt you if you keep doing that.
Yahoo. Ow!
I told you, man.
I didn't know you were going to hit me there.
Well, he did, didn't he?
That hurt.
Good. I'm glad it hurt.
Yahoo!
I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, you have to find me first.
I'm going to throw both of you out, not only of the studio, but out of the building. You want that?
No.
Do you want it?
I didn't do anything.
Yahoo! Why do you get to do it?
Because it's my show. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Man. 877-876-7445 on Sunday at noon. Milwaukee Lion football at Phil TV in HD. Noon Pacific time as the Lions travel to Utah and Salt Lake City's Beaver Dome to take on the Utah Flaming Cavalry. Game time at noon with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. Only, exclusively, at PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yahoo! Ow!
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Before we move on to other news here, I thought it only fair that we get the Pussy Riot
What?
Well, the new single, man, or the song. I mean, isn't that what I asked you to do?
Yeah, well, I got them being sentenced in a courtroom.
Dude, I'm not asking for them being sentenced in the courtroom. I was looking for the actual video of them singing their song about Putin being a douchebag or whatever the hell it was.
But it wasn't like a Putin being a douchebag or nothing about it. Yeah, it is about Putin being a douchebag.
All right, it is about Putin being a douchebag. That's all I wanted to see.
Our healthcare should be our own.
Is this it? No, that's a Mitt Romney ad. Wait a minute. And that was not only Mitt Romney, it was Smashing Pumpkins.
Ain't that it?
Cases of rape and incest.
This
and
is an ad.
I'll cut off funding to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah?
For women, Planned Parenthood means life-saving cancer.
I'm sorry, folks. This is the ad that's in the...
Services. But for Mitt Romney,
this is the ad that's in the story on Pussy Riot. I got to tell you, I'm about had it with the political process in this country. Let me see here, man. Is this it? Oh, they're great. They're fantastic.
This is great.
Yeah.
Maybe that devil might be saying four-letter words.
Hold on. It is rather hooligan-esque. They're wearing ski masks, too.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the hooliganism.
Нет только крито, вот он херый. I knew it was gonna suck. Why am I playing it, man?
I think it's pretty good though.
In other words, it sucks, but you think it's also pretty good.
Yeah.
This is like they're like the Bananarama of Moscow, you know?
Yeah, they're Bananarama, but they don't have a nightclub to go to. Yeah,
this is what happened. They kick Bananarama's ass. What do you think? There's a nun trying to kick. There's a nun trying to kick ass on one of them, which I think is pretty good. Oh, whatever, man. You know, I mean, it's Russia. What the hell do you expect, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, what do you expect? It's Russia. Just like the father of one of these girls said it, he said, people have been locked up in our country for political expression for centuries. Why the hell do we expect anything different? And Madonna and the rest of them, what do you think you're going to do? Don't you understand? The Russians are not impressed with you at all, man. What do you think you're going to do? Unless, of course, Putin wants concert tickets or something. I mean, I'm sure there's something you got that he wants, Madonna.
Yeah, she's probably going to have to give it up.
Shut up, man.
Shut up, bud.
Why? Don't you think that that...
Oh. Hey! Don't talk like that, okay?
Well, don't you think that Putin had let him go? Yeah, call it Pooty Riot.
Yeah, the Pooty Riot. But...
All right, watch it with the Pooty Riot, okay?
They're saying Pussy Riot.
Yeah, but that's okay, because it's a direct news quote, and we're allowed to use that. So in Russia, where they've been putting people away and pulling their fingernails out for you, you know, here in America, we really think we know what repression is. It makes me laugh. I understand that there is a history in this country, especially between police and minorities, that is pretty outrageous. There's no question about it, and you'd be stupid to think that there was not, at one time in this country, horrible police abuse against certain groups of people in America. It's absolutely true. We happen to know, as a matter of fact, that certain police, small-town police forces, have been guilty of murder. It's happened. We know this is a part of our history. You can't ignore it. You have to look at it. So always keep that in mind when you begin to, as I am about to do, when you begin to weigh in and weigh other political systems. In our country, it's illegal. While there is abuse and while there is racism and race hate and sexism and homophobia and all of this stuff, in our country, it is unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. So that at the end of the day, even if you've got to wade through every small town, dumbass, redneck cop in the world to get to it, there's a constitution that sits there that says, no, 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 no. You don't get to do that. And in our country, getting to that constitution takes less time than it does in any other godforsaken hole of a country out there. Now, that's just the reality of the world. You think so, huh, Phil? Yeah, I think so. You know, I get into these discussions all the time with people. They'll say, Well, you don't understand another. What other country are you talking about, man? You got to start in with your Sweden thing again. This is where everybody brings up Sweden. I always love it. This is where they bring up Sweden. Oh, in Sweden? In Sweden, really? How many black folks they got in Sweden? How many minorities have they got in Sweden? What kind of actual racial tension have they got in Sweden, man? What is the, and what's the population of that country? And what is the history of that country? What are they coming from? How much strife and how much blood, sweat, and tears has it taken to form the insulated, safe harbor society of Sweden? A country that was neutral in World War II. Ah.
How'd he finish that?
They did it. A country that has gone out of its way to stay out of the fray, to stay, well, I don't know about this Jew thing. Yeah, sure, the Swedes, they had some great people, and they've stuck their necks out, and they've done some heroic things. But as a nation, as a government, as a society, they've been very, well, you know, I don't, you know, I know nothing, I see nothing.
What about all that Nobel Prize and everything?
Nobel Prize? What's that?
You know.
Oh, yeah, the Nobel Prize. What about it?
They do that, too.
And it ain't them. That's Oslo. That's Norway, ain't it?
No, man. I think that's like...
No, it's Finland. Yeah, that's what it is, Finland.
No, it ain't Finland. The Nobel Prize is... maybe it is Sweden. You're right.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm. That's where they go. Why do I can't get those... You know, it's either Oslo or Stockholm where they do the Nobel Prize... And it's either Oslo or Stockholm where the sugar cubes are from.
No, they're from Iceland.
Okay. So, you know, don't start talking to me all this smack about this, that, and something else. You know, just go bother somebody else with that horse dung, man. I know how this world works. And everybody wants to have a nice, free, and beautiful, and fresh air society. And, you know, that's a noble thing, and we're all working toward that. But if you're going to start talking to me about the relative values of democracies and societies, when it comes to democracy, when it comes to freedom, this is where it's at, man. Where else are you going to find it? With all of the things that we got to deal with in this country, where else are you going to find things as smooth sailing as right here in America? And the thing that gets me is Americans, because we don't know a damn thing. We've never been anywhere. We've never done anything. We got our heads shoved so far up our asses. We got people running around in this country right now thinking, oh, my God, we're on the verge of communism. If you want to meet a stupid human being, a really stupid human being, just find anybody that thinks we're on the verge of communism in America right now. Anybody. I don't care who they are.
What about William F. Buckley?
William F. Buckley is no longer alive.
Yeah, but what if he said that?
William F. Buckley was not that stupid. I got news for you right now. If I had William F. Buckley sitting here, as much of a right-winger as he wasn't so dumb as to sit down and say, we're on the verge of communism in America. That guy, come on, man. You like Christopher Hitchens?
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, well, it's Christopher Hitchens is very respect. Christopher Hitchens is interesting. Christopher Hitchens was a left wing thinker, writer, intellectual who supported the war in Iraq. And I love to see my left wing friends over on Twitter, like the Steven Weber, who's a great guy. And you're talking about Hitch, Steven? Are you crazy, man? Hitch was like a Bush man when it came to Iraq. How do you feel about that? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oslo.
Oslo's in Norway.
No. No, that's Finland.
Oslo is not in Finland. Oslo's in Norway.
What's the capital of Finland then?
Oh, get out of here. Where's Finland? Nice music, man.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I was talking with our good, close, personal friend Dan Northcraft, our technical director, because we had some questions in our comments section. Is Dan a Tool fan? And yes, indeed, he is, and he has seen the band. He's seen the band, in fact, to the point, and Bud, you weighed in on this, that he is an admirer of their sound people, and that the sound people that Tool employs, they can make that band sound good no matter where.
Yeah, you talk about on an armory in Medford. I'm going to go see Tool. They're going to play at the Laughingham Arena.
Where's that, man?
The Laughingham Arena, where?
That in L.A.
I never heard of the Laughingham Arena.
Yeah, but it used to be, I think it was a place where they stored ammunition or something. And they stored ammunition there, and they designed aircraft. And now the Laughingham Arena, probably one of the top concert venues.
What are you talking about, man?
I never heard of no Laughingham Arena, man. What are you talking about?
I just got done telling you how many times you want to say it.
They stored ammunition there, and they, what did they do?
They refurbished aircraft. And also, I shouldn't say, but it's probably bad, but it was a Japanese internment camp in World War One or Two, which was the one where they put the Japanese internment camp, World War One.
What?
What is it?
World War One.
What's World War One? You talking about World War One?
Yeah.
No, it was World War Two. So let me just get this straight. You're going to go see Tool at the Laughingham Arena.
Yeah.
Where is it, man?
I told you, it's in L.A.
I've never heard of the Laughingham Arena, and I've been here my whole life. Where in L.A.?
Downtown. I mean, you know, where everything is, downtown.
Downtown, man. No, the only thing downtown is Staples Center.
It might, what did that used to be the Laughingham Arena.
The Laughingham Arena, and they used to store ammunition there. They refurbished aircraft, and it was a Japanese internment camp.
Yeah.
Well, what a great place to go and see a band, huh?
My understanding is the acoustics is really good, and it sounds good.
Well, that's what we were just talking to Dan about, that the Tool...
the band they called The Tool, called Tool.
Now, I know that.
You called it The Tool.
No, I did not. I sound lame enough. Don't make it... Anyway, he said that whoever's doing sound for that band is great, because he's seen them in a lot of different... rooms, but I have a concert story that's an old guy concert story.
Go ahead, man. I'll hear it.
It was when I went to see the Doors. I was at the legendary Doors show at the Hollywood Bowl. I didn't go to Woodstock. I didn't go to this. I didn't go to any of these legendary shows, but there's one show, yes, I actually was at, and it is the Hollywood Bowl, 1968 Hollywood Bowl Doors show. I was 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. Anyway, make a long story short, that night, this is before the modern PA, the modern sound systems that you have today. This is when amps were stacked on stage, okay?
Yeah.
And that night, the Doors had stacked on that stage the record for the Hollywood Bowl. I don't know how many it was, but it broke the previous record that had been set by the Rolling Stones. And literally, these were Marshall amps that they just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, they like stack them up, what, like five high?
Yeah, man, it seemed like it was, well, it became maybe not five high, maybe three or four high, big stacks of Marshall amps. And then sitting in front of those is the drum kit. And then, you know, the band was out in front, but there were these, it was just the whole, it was like a wall of black Marshall amps behind the band on stage. And it was the Hollywood Bowl record. To be honest with you, and this is the funny part of the entire thing that I'm about to tell you, that was the Doors sound system. That night, there were three bands that actually played. The Doors headlined, but the bands that came out first was first Steppenwolf and a band called the Chambers Brothers. Steppenwolf, I don't know who the hell ran their sound, because their PA was cutting in and out, and they did that song Born to Be Wild, right?
Yeah, that's a famous one that they done.
Yeah, well, this is how it sounded. Born!
Was that the PA?
No, it was the singer doing it like, yes, it was the PA.
Yeah, that would be using the Doors amps.
They weren't using the Doors amps, no, man. What, the Doors, yeah, sure, go ahead. Make garbage out of our amps, man, before we use them. No, they had to use their own crap.
No, they gotta go out and set that up?
Yeah, man, I mean, yes. What do you think I'm talking about here? Yes. So when the Chambers Brothers went off, then these roadies come out and start stacking these amps. Chambers Brothers, they were fantastic. I remember they were so good that people were actually asking, how could the Doors be any better than these guys? I would say the Doors were equal to the task, but I'm not so sure they surpassed what the Chambers Brothers did. They were unreal. That's how good they were. But that poor, stupid PA system that Steppenwolf had to deal with on a night when they set the record.
Yeah, they didn't even have enough money to get their own stack PA stacked up.
Yeah. Too bad the only thing stacked that they probably had was their girlfriends.
Yeah, that's bitches.
Yeah, ha, 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 ha. All right, in other news, folks, let's move off of who's stacked and how much. This situation in Washington, D.C., you probably have heard. Accusations of blame abounded on Thursday and Friday, a day after a 28-year-old man who had volunteered for a center that serves gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people was taken into custody for allegedly shooting a building manager at the headquarters of a Christian conservative group. Now, this conservative Christian group, Family Research Council, the president, Tony Perkins, said, and I quote, "Let me be clear that Floyd Corkins," that's the name of the man who was doing the shooting, "Floyd Corkins was responsible for firing the shot yesterday. But Corkins was given a license to shoot an unarmed man by organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center that have been reckless in labeling organizations hate groups because they disagree with them on public policy." Now, this is Corkins speaking on behalf of the Family Research Council, which he says has been labeled a hate group by the Southern Christian Leadership Council. I said the Southern Poverty Law Center. I didn't mean to say the Southern Christian Leadership Council. That's in a completely different organization. I apologize, folks. The Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris Dees' legal center that has been instrumental, to be honest with you, in taking on cases of hate crime cases and getting favorable rulings for their clients, people who have been victims of race hate or hate crimes. In any event, Mr. Perkins said that it was the Southern Poverty Law Center that had been reckless in labeling his group and others hate groups. Perkins said that the Southern Poverty Law Center should be held accountable for their reckless use of terminology that's leading to the intimidation and what the FBI here has categorized as an act of domestic terrorism. No question that it was an act of domestic terrorism. Who is the D.C. shooting suspect? FRC shooting victim. Instincts took over blame game grows in the FRC shooting situation. Prosecutors said they're still investigating the motive behind the shooting, and the motive could determine whether Corkins is charged with domestic terrorism or hate crimes. In a statement, the Southern Poverty Law Center described as outrageous the suggestion that it contributed to the attack. The Family Research Council, which focuses on family and anti-abortion issues and religious liberties, recently supported Chick-fil-A president Dan Cathy, who had become embroiled in controversy about his comments on traditional marriage. Cathy had said, "We're supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit, etc., etc." He was talking to the Baptist press. The statement sparked outrage and uproar in the gay community. Corkins, who was carrying 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches in his bag when he was taken into custody, quote, "has strong opinions with respect to those he believes do not treat homosexuals in a fair manner," authorities said in the complaint filed against him, citing the suspect's parents with whom he lives in Herndon, Virginia. Asked what evidence he had linking the center to the shooting, Perkins referred to the Chick-fil-A matter. "You've seen Family Research Council listed in many of those stories that Chick-fil-A supports and underwrites the Family Research Council. Chicken with a side of politics." And in those stories where it says the Family Research Council, it says they're a certified hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've seen that term used increasingly over the last 2 years, and it marginalizes individuals. All right, this guy is saying that the Southern Poverty Law Center certified or somehow has officially claimed that the Family Research Council is a hate group. So that's going to be an interesting thing, because it seems to me like you could sue a guy for that.
Well, did they or didn't they?
Well, he's not, I got to be honest with you. He's back. He steps right up to the edge and then he backs away from it. He said the company donated $1,000 to the Family Research Council a number of years ago, but does not underwrite his group. The Family Research Council says it promotes faith, family, and freedom. National Organization for Marriage also criticized the Southern Poverty Law Center, say that its listing of the Family Research Council on its website was equating the group with violent. So they list them on their website, and that, quote, equates them with violent extremist groups. So this guy Perkins is running a long way, man, to make that claim. and running an even further long way to say that the Southern Poverty Law Center has anything to do with this guy getting shot. But that's how stupid the discourse in our country has gotten when it comes to human rights. It's something that you figure people would understand, especially Americans. We don't have any more of an understanding of human rights than we have, you know, how to balance a budget or how to balance our own checkbook or anything else. The responsibility is on the shooter, but we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage, he said Thursday on CNN's Early Start. But we should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups those that we disagree with. There's a very wise person in my life who says to me, if you ever want to know what the real answer is, it starts after the word but. The real statement starts after the word but. So when someone says, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, but that's where their real statement begins. The I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. Just remember that.
It starts after the but. Yeah, I'll bet it does.
Yeah, but shut up. I'm talking serious here, okay? So if someone says, you know, I'm really sorry that I hurt you by running you over with my car. Oh, you are? Yes, I am. But, well, okay, you can throw out the I'm sorry I ran you over with my car because here comes their actual apology, and it is the following thing. But you walked out in front of my car, and I was having a really bad day, and I couldn't see you because the sun was in the windshield, and you were being very irresponsible by not wearing white, and it was at night, even though the sun was out. So that's the real answer.
Don't even apologize at all.
There you, bingo. Thank you. It's not an apology at all when it's qualified that way. And it's really not a statement of belief when it's qualified this way. So when this guy says on CNN's Early Start, the responsibility is on the shooter, but we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage, but we should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups those that we disagree with. We should connect. So the first statement, the responsibility is on the shooter, means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. He has gutted it of all meaning because he's gone on to say, in context with the shooter and in context with his act of violence, what he's basically saying is we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage or people are going to get shot. We should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups that we disagree with. Otherwise, people are going to get shot. We should condemn violence of any sort, but we should also be responsible, whatever that means. So his statement of the responsibilities on the shooter is the most meaningless bullcrap statement that you could possibly make. And I would just encourage you guys, anytime you see this in the news, anytime you see it in your own life, anytime you see it quoted in a newspaper, you see it on TV, anytime you hear that word, B-U-T, but, when someone says, well, first, they start out with what is the soundbite, acceptable, and very laudable statement. Why, I think violence in any form is wrong. But, or then the other word is however.
Yeah, I was going to say however.
Yes, violence in any form is wrong. However, now comes the real statement. However, we have been provoked by these gays or by these religious people or by the, you know, and we, therefore, have been made to do this, that, this, that, this, that. That's the guy's real statement. That's what he believes right there. That horse dung is meant to confuse you. And quite frankly, it's an insult to your intelligence. I deplore violence in any form. And of course we don't concur with the actions of this warped individual. However, when the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Family Research Council and the Family Law Center and the Southern Poverty Research Council and the right-wingers that are poverty-stricken and the left-wingers that eat chicken, when those people do not respect the rights of straights, gays, animal lovers, animal husbandry experts, and all the others to be married or not married, they cause me to pick up a gun and shoot infants. Yeah, so there's the answer, man.
But the guy said he didn't believe no violence, though.
Well, wait a second. He just said we deplore violence, and then he goes on to say, however, violence is understandable. That's what we're dealing with, and it's time for us to at least, folks, even if we're not going to solve these problems, let's now begin to understand the language that's being spoken. Don't let people get away with that anymore. I hear it every freaking day in the news. I see it every day. I see people in Congress. I hear people in news soundbites. This guy just did it. Don't let them get away with it anymore. Don't let them get away with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but... Call him on it. All right, we got a break. I think I just heard Dan Northcraft's voice. The same guy that does sound for Tool. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
we'll be right back.
He's our maybe. Bitch. The
maybe,
Phil Hendry Show.
Maybe. We'll be right back if we want to be. Yeah. Maybe. Oh, no, not bad. You mean Tool doesn't want people to video their performances?
No, they take people, they take the video away.
Oh, no. You mean Tool is trying to protect their copyright and their performance rights and their rights to their own music? Oh, goodness gracious. How will that sit with the freedom-loving internet people and my good friends over on Twitter, many of whom are, you know, work in Hollywood, work in film and television, who at the same time... are against the stop piracy stuff. Why? Can you explain that? You guys work in movies and TV. Some of you have the rights to that, to those performances, and yet, what, you don't want to stop? And I understand the legislation that was written was bad legislation. I get that, and that part we agree on. But some of these people are, like, just against any and all efforts to stop piracy. Now, we've got this guy. I'll give you an example of what we're talking about here. This guy, Julian Assange, we were talking about him last night.
Yeah.
This guy is now in the Ecuador embassy. He doesn't want to be handed over to the Americans. He doesn't want to be handed over to the British. What has this man been doing? He has been actively disseminating on the internet classified documents. Now, I understand that it may be silly. It may be important. It may be a lot of things. Some people may think this and some people may think that. However, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about was the law broken? And the answer is yes, it was. Now, you can say the law is a bad law, but let me put something to you right now. Julian Assange wants to basically nullify the American political process because he's sitting in the Ecuador embassy right now and he's saying the investigation of WikiLeaks must be stopped. You understand this guy's not an American citizen. He's not even in America. He's been leaking documents that essentially belong to the American people by way of their own government, and he's saying the investigation must be stopped. So he wants to nullify the political process in America. He knows that he's broken a law, but he doesn't want to be prosecuted for it. Now, I know the tradition of civil disobedience because I grew up in the era of Martin Luther King, and one of the things that Dr. King did is he said, I'm going to break this law, and I know I'm breaking the law, which means I have to take whatever these legal punishments are that they're going to mete out. I'm not going to stand in front of a judge and plead guilty and then say, but please don't punish me. That doesn't make sense. Did you break the law? Said maybe a judge to Julian Assange, and this guy, because he's not Martin Luther King and never will be in a million lifetimes, he say, I broke an unfair law. Well, that may well be, sir, but you did break. So you're pleading guilty. I'm pleading innocent. You're pleading not guilty. Yes. So you didn't break the law. No, I didn't break a law. I didn't break the moral law of man. You know, that's how these slime balls get around it. Well, yes, you did break the law. Well, it's a bad law. And not only that, it should be nullified. Are you an American citizen? The only people that I know of that can nullify by way of a jury American law are American citizens that serve on a jury. That is called jury nullification. It is legal in our country when a jury says, you know what, this law that this man's being tried under sucks. It sucks, and we're going to render a not guilty verdict. We're going to come in with a not guilty verdict. That's called jury nullification. Last time I checked, the only people who can do that are Americans. So this guy, Assange, is running a con, folks. He is a guy that just wants to send all kinds of crap out into the internet and spread all kinds of bull crap. He doesn't know what's there. It's not really earth-shaking stuff. He just wants the freedom to do it. And now the U.S. government and the British government are playing hardball, and he's starting to feel nervous about it, and he wants the process to stop. It's like he's a little kid that's out there playing a war, and now it's getting really serious, and he wants his mom to call him for dinner. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions at noon on Sunday. Until then, Sunday at noon for the Lions in Utah. Let that be a lesson to you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Phil Hendry.